on today's issue of Homo Superior.
Life. She's so cute. She's just skipping along.
She's just skipping along. She's like,
I'm just eating porridge or whatever. Yeah. Wherever, whatever time.
Why is
frame.
She? Okay. Yes. She's Scottish.
She's generically
or English.
White.
I think, Mommy, I'm the queen of the harpies.
I'm queen of the harpies. There's your crown, your majesty. What year is it, Mother?
Is it St. Swithin's Day already?
1800 or something.
Excuse me, Mother. What day is it?
Well, Brent is gay, and Kaylin's gay, and Clark is gay, and Ryan's gay, and Adam's gay. It's Homo Superior.
Welcome to Homo Superior, the only podcast where mommy's busy. Issue 324, I'm Kaylin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Brent Wingate. This week, it's true. I have a confession because I was attacked on Twitter. I can't sing, okay? All right, I'm coming out as a person who proudly cannot sing well. I hope you're happy. Also, it's feasting time for all the Queer X podcasts and Twitter. That's right, X-Men 97 is a hit, and we're talking episode 3. Let's see what we can spoil for you, sugar. We've got an Easter game. Let's see if it's one you could play with your friends this Sunday.
Said Jesus to Judas.
I'm going to have to guess, does it involve faggots and cunts?
It do.
Get ready to get hung.
Plus, we have dozens of issues and 1,000 plugs, issues and plugs, as far as the eye can see. But first, housekeeping. We've got a creator crush coming out.
Mama.
It was so fun to do. It is with editor extraordinaire Jordan D. White. It's coming out Monday, April 1st, but that's no joke.
I left space for you to make that joke. I love it.
I am very excited about this interview. I thought it was a great conversation. Mm-hmm. Jordan just seems like a really smart, humble, self-aware guy. There's times where he's like getting into the philosophy of editing and how he approaches projects. And then he got, you know, kind of vulnerable at points when talking about like the nature of criticism. And it was just very thoughtful and interesting to get his story in particular and kind of a large overview of the Krakoan era as a whole. And
yeah, this was our first creator crush that didn't really involve the entertainment or writer artist. So
it was an editor. Yeah, first time we've
How did that feel, Kaylin?
It felt great. Again, just to echo what Brent said, he's just a delightful guy. He's a mensch, as they say.
Yeah,
he was just so warm and like just forthcoming with his
like
opinions.
Editor, X-Men lover, mensch.
Yeah. And on top of him editing the X books for the last 6 years, he's also a podcaster himself. He used to have a Sailor Moon podcast. He currently has a horror podcast he does with a friend of his called Nature Trail to Hell. He plays the ukulele.
So he's been a creator this whole time. This all was a ruse.
He's a renaissance man, as they say.
We didn't get into the ukulele stuff, and I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, why is he not doing the introduction song along with
I
you?
I just feel like we're more of a bass podcast, you know? Like, we want to talk to creators who play the bass, not ukulele.
Awesome. Let's get on with some MCU Next TV, our weekly segment focused on the latest and greatest of the MCU Disney Plus TV shows. This week, we've got X-Men 97, Episode 3, Fire Made Flesh. The team is propelled into a tragic confrontation with an immortal mad scientist. Very weird descriptor from their log lines on Disney, because there's a lot more that happens than just that. So let's get into it. In this house, we do not skip the opening, because there's always new scenes.
And we will go through it shot by,
shot. So we start with people flying in. No, but the new scenes that we did get see added, we had Storm, Cyclops, and Wolverine versus Magneto. Wasn't Enter Magneto Rogue, Storm, and Cyclops? Was this a reference to a specific point in the series?
I don't remember.
Yeah, like I looked it up and I like didn't really find
this
it.
This one didn't pop out to me for some reason.
So then we've also got Dark Phoenix clips. We got Roberto as Jubilee running against that iconic caged fence wall. Rogue and Gambit kissing on the basketball court, a throwback to an old cover image. And people still running in funny directions. I'm not going to let that go. Every week, Emma, you got to stay
really
in your lane.
So.
All right. We start out with a DNA test. Gene probes Jean's, quote unquote, mind, while Brees probes elsewhere. We get faceless memories of the Danger Room, Marvel Girl in Phoenix, the Morlock sewers, an angry Wolverine meme. Love they threw that in. more Dark Phoenix Mowage, waking up in Frankenstein's laboratory, going to Crazy Eddie's, and then That's What You Missed on Gene's Clone. Morph cameo Spiral. Ryan, you thought this was going to be a Mojo intensive episode. Do you want to speak on it?
Huh. I thought you were just joking about that.
You know, I watched the preview and I was like, this is it. This is the okay, because some things were spoiled online.
Yeah.
So we saw
by us.
Yeah, by you guys. So fuck you guys. So we saw Spiral show up, which happened to be simply just a cameo by Morph. And then I saw a bunch of ugly people and people falling into things. And I was like, Mojo Land. So that's why I thought it was. But boy, was I wrong.
I did read the log line and I was like, laboratory scientist? Sure. I guess that's how you could describe it. Like, I still didn't know who it was exactly.
It felt like a Mojo
about.
Experience.
I agree.
Though,
no, and we got a good inferno. So Beast confirms the couch gene is actually Gene Prime. He's been carbon dating those cells, baby.
Okay. So
how does
this
work,
episode?
Brent.
Science court.
No, science court. This is more like, actually, it is a little bit science court. This is like science ethics court.
Okay.
Like, maybe with highly sensitive information, like, hey, person we're talking to, you're a clone. You don't just blurt that out in front of everyone. Like, yeah. Oh, guess who has cancer? It's you.
Well, and it wasn't really. It was actually Magneto who was like, so our gene is the clone. And we're like, geez, what a leader you are, bitch. Yeah.
He's just trying to get from point A to point B. You know what? I'm not mad at that.
I'm very happy that they expedited this.
Same
are
here.
You guys?
Yeah.
No, it would have been so weird to draw it out. Everyone that anyone
there's
knows
so many
of.
Question marks with her appearance in general. So, like, it's just so nice to be like, shut up.
Yeah.
You are a clone.
Okay.
But they do mistreat her.
What do you got, Caitlin?
It reminds me a lot of Heroes Season 1, where they were basically taking Claremontian like type storylines and just answering questions one or two episodes later, because it came out right when like Lost was really big. Well, Lost would ask all these questions and not answer it. So this feels very much like this is the Heroes version of like the Claremont era from the comics in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Just answering questions immediately.
Do you think that Psyche took a little too long to give a reasonable response to fake Gene?
Well, yeah, so let's talk about this. Gene gets fucking pissed. She looks to Scott for moral support, and bitch, he was given nada.
Didn't say a goddamn word. He's just like, well, I guess if our Blue Maury says you're not the gene, I have to go with Blue Maury over here.
But like how would, well, and that's it. I mean, obviously it leads into the great line of Storm would have believed me. And we got a great setup from episode two.
Don't, you know, I fucking hated that line.
What?
I know. Great. I mean, I see why an evil person would say that, but do not bring this proud black woman into your fight.
Also, this gene is not evil. She's not
she
evil.
Doesn't, yeah, she's not actually evil. She's just possessed.
Misunderstood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This was before the full possession took effect, so.
This is my no prize of why Scott didn't come to her defense. He was already having doubts because she kept pushing him
to go.
Let's go. Let's get away from the X-Men. And so in the back of his mind, he's like, something is off with her.
Well, I'll give you that. Yeah, that makes sense.
If it's the narrative, too, because like it's a very biased, I think, reaction, right? Because it's confirmation bias. Like, oh yeah, I didn't want to leave, and she wants to make me leave. She's definitely evil. So I there's a lot of more nuance to both this and the comic that we'll talk about.
Wouldn't you be shocked, Adam, to find out that
your
boyfriend is Jean Grey?
Well, so my question to you all is, how would you react if you found out you were a clone?
Great.
Probably say I'm the Goblin Queen after.
No transformations, no powers. You would just take your hat off and go.
He just opens up a closet. He's got a stored black leather clothes.
Exactly, like, a corset and a cape.
I've been waiting for this day.
And then everyone would be like, but that's the old you. So what's new about it?
I mean, obviously I'd have a lot of questions, but I think Madeline's got something going for her in that she's like, as a telepath, she's like, I've got all the memories.
Yeah.
And the thing I'm scanning doesn't have the memories.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like at that moment in time, she is the more real Jean in a way.
It's true, honestly.
I don't blame, like, again, like she's, I love
So if
the
I
way-
just like hit the fake me with a shovel and kill them, there's only one real me.
She's older.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
No,
great.
Ryan does the best Yoda voice. He goes, now begin the Clone Wars have.
So Jean and Cyclops, or, you know, we'll call her just Jean clone. She gets in with Cyclops. Tests won't change. I'm Nathan's mother. And I said, bitch, they won't, because that came out of your uterus. Jean Clone asked for trust.
Yeah, but they would no test would show that you're the only Nathan's mother. There's clearly a test that Beast could run that would say the real Gene and the fake Gene are both Nathan's mom.
So he could just test everything and do everything. Okay, continue.
This is why science doesn't work and astrology does.
No, I'm not saying she's not Nathan's mother. I'm just saying no test will say that she is.
I know. We're never going to get the answers we want because a baby monitor demon arises. Meanwhile, Chekhov's time band is going on. Bishop tries to explain timey-wimey stuff where it's like, of course I never heard of this.
Hey. They seeded that. Several episodes ago, they're like talking about that time band, and they're like, I'm just working on this time band over here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sing it along
to
Mozart.
I'll get to it when I get to
that
it.
That fucking time band is everywhere.
Yeah. Only if it comes up in three episodes.
Beast quickly figures out that a man so dark and twisted, he could be described as nothing
only
other than
sinister.
In quotes.
What a fun reintroduction, right?
But
were you
also
losing your minds?
You have officialness, so you call him Mr.
then we get back to the baby monitor. You know, some people may call him sinister, but you may call me father.
Baby monitor. Oh.
I'll just start calling her Maddie. It's easier. Maddie realizes the MacGuffin of her child. She's like, oh, fuck. This motherfucker wants my kid. Every cell in you belongs to me. This is a real abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I thought about that this, again, it's Krakoa era, but like even before that, a lot of the Maddie Sinister stuff seems to have gone by the wayside, right? Have they had a lot of interactions in the comics since? Love this for that reason.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was such a big part of it in Inferno and leading up to Inferno and all that. But ever since then, it's just been like, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm moving on to other
things.
They
didn't really address it in Dark Web a lot. They were not, like, really getting it. I mean, they talk about it some, but they don't actually have, like,
or even Dark X-Men, right? Like, having some level of flashback or conversation.
But at that point, Sinister's kind of often all those different versions, and one of them is turning into, like, Enigma. And blah,
I mainly
blah,
mean
blah.
For Maddie as, like, a character development situation. Like, it doesn't feel like they really process through that. It's always her versus Jean versus her versus Sinister.
So this episode obviously moves. It really cooks. But why did no one, like, kind of comfort Maddie at all? No one
didn't
did.
Give two shits about her.
Jubilee was like, I have a friend over.
Well, Rogue was like, in English.
Also, was Sunspot there the whole time? In the last one, he wasn't even there, and then he just was like, I came over to watch that terrible soap opera or whatever.
I think it's like the idea that he is like the Jubilee of this season, where I think he's very in and out
stupid
of everything because he's not really part of the team.
Beast screams, I know who did this. It's Sinister. And then no one goes and checks on Madeline for
they're
45
like,
minutes.
Like, you're probably right. Can you run off and we'll leave you alone?
I have to go get some books.
Even Morph could
with
have
the,
consulted.
With the child, with the baby.
It's like, okay.
You do think that they would like beam, nice. At least beam to Morph to be like, Cyclops would be like, hit his little titty and go, hey, bitch, Sinister's here. Get over there now or get out. Titty. Just get out of
Or like Cyclops tells Morph, turn into me and then go comfort her, you know.
Where's their like red alert to be like Sinister's involved, move your ass.
Red alert for
there's
emotional
no
issues.
There's no PA system for the mansion.
Sinister activates a red diamond. I kind of thought this is a Sins of Sinister reference because she didn't really have that in the comics, did she?
What, the diamond?
Yeah.
No, the diamond's
that's
always been
like
there.
That was
like
a cute little flip.
Yeah.
Maddie goes on a rampage.
She really does.
I wrote down not the ugliest baby doll costume imaginable, and I don't remember what that was about.
I don't know.
Mommy's busy. And then we get the cuntiest Sailor Moon transformation you've ever fucking seen.
Wait, are we not going to talk about the... Oh, yes. You're right. No.
Are we not going to talk about the cuntiest Sailor Moon transformation we've ever seen?
No, I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Yeah.
And her darkest desires are infernal. Which we
Why
expected.
Do you think she chose this outfit? I know we have the comics version and stuff like that. When you're bad, you wear
I assumed
black
it was
leather.
Because it looked like Mr. Sinister's outfit.
Okay. I like that. More tassels I could have gone for.
Oh, one's outfit can never have too many tassels.
I
always agree.
Here's my one little issue about this, and I know why they had to condense the Inferno storyline in one episode.
Yes.
You can't bring in all the demons. You didn't have like the setup with magic, even though we'll get to that. You didn't have Sim. You didn't have Niastri. But, like, she's called a goblin queen because she's dealing with demons. The goblin queen stuff just kind of comes out of nowhere.
She's like a Halloween fan. She just loved Halloween.
Yeah. Spirit Halloween stores down the street. We're going to fucking, yeah, just go down.
Call me Party City Lady. Yes. Like, what are we talking
about? I'm the banana woman.
What? Nymphia?
Okay, so she, in theory, is creating all these images that are, you know, I guess goblin-esque, right?
Yeah. Demons.
Why?
Hells.
Why? She just like, this is my dark place?
I do think it's like the dark, yeah, so we do get the...
Oh, it's because Nathan is unbaptized, and you go to limbo.
He's a demon.
We do get
the
Inferno kind of build up, but before that, we get Gambit, Morph, and Wolverine fucking in the Danger Room.
Yes.
Which is a welcome respite, because Brogue and Magneto have been fucking in there every other hour, it seems. I love these fucking interactions between everybody are my favorite.
The look that Morph is just giving, Oh, look, they've got another.
It is weird for them to take that much time. I mean, it's like 8 or 9 slots
in a row. It was like 4 days.
Jesus.
Not for some of us, Brent. I don't know what you do in your danger room.
I don't have 8 or 4 slots
in a
row.
Wait a minute. Isn't that what you guys do every morning? Isn't that your danger room, you two?
Sweatbox.
Yeah, you guys are having sex, right?
That's it. Taking out
what do you think the sweatbox is?
So hold on. There's 20 to 30 other people in those classes. We're having sex with a lot of people.
Or genius.
The orgy alarm. So Inferno starts. We get Gambit getting the... So I'll describe all three of the scenarios, or four. So Gambit gets
Describe the Mojo one.
Yeah, the Mojo person. Gambit sees a green light, which is Mojo. But no, he then walks into Rogue and Magneto as Clayface, essentially. lots
creepy.
Of I found myself a real man. Loose. Yeah, we can go by
I
one
thought
by
the
one,
thing
so.
Was in the Skin Fantastic play. Four, but I was wrong.
That was, it's again, a lot of like, I just loved the back to back of these scenes because I'm like, oh, this is not your like Saturday morning X-Men, but it's not going to be, you know, an Invincible or the Boys or something, but it is going to kind of take it up a little bit more to the maturity curve that the viewers probably want to see.
I was not expecting the body horror in this at all. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that is very unsettling because the Gambit, when he sees the Rogue and Magneto like kind of canoodling, it is very much the image that Jim Lee drew in the early 90s. When they're in the Savage Land. So it is an homage to that. And then when it gets creepy
Gross.
And unsettling, I'm like, ooh, my like 10-year-old self is like freaking out.
So then there's the poltergeist ring situation.
Yeah, this shit is emotionally traumatizing on top of physically. Jubilee and Roberto get, you know, the TV freaks out, fucking comes out of the TV. Jubilee like splits it open essentially by shooting with fireworks.
Right.
And then turns into Roberto's mom.
Yes. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you.
So like,
but in Portuguese.
Okay. You're an everyday viewer.
You sure?
You sat down. You seemingly can't seem to figure out why could this show be about people of diversity, in particular the LGBTQIA+ community.
Yeah.
And someone who in episode 1 talks about, I can never show my powers to my family because I'm afraid of what they would think. And then literally this happening, how fucking dense are you that you can't put the pieces together?
Hold on, Adam. That's because the woke agenda. So if you think about it that way, am I making myself clear? Like, is that, like, have I explained it?
Stop hitting him.
Who
Stop
invited Joe
him.
Rogan
okay,
to our
okay,
podcast?
So we got to talk about Beast. Beasts.
The elevator face. What was that?
So,
it was very Spirited Away.
Spirited Away. Here's problem number 2 I have with Beast this fucking episode. Madeline is going through pulling out people's horrors. He's got Morph in a tizzy because Wolverine might reject him in a shower. And
that was horny.
The thing that she pulls out of Beast's brain is a conversation with a giant Olmec skull in the middle of an elevator. What is going on in there?
Because he
he's unfazed by it. He goes, well, I don't think you're supposed to be on this elevator.
You know, I'll tell you why.
What's he up to?
Because when he speaks, people think of him as that image of just being like, blah, 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 blah. You don't care what's coming out.
We do have Bishop and Cyclops try to get Nathan. They get attacked by Teddy Xavier. Shard comes up, which I loved.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
But, you know, fuck those two because we got to talk about this goddamn shower scene.
Then there was Morph.
Morph goes to
agenda.
Wash off. And he's
take
like,
a shower fully clothed.
Hey, buddy, what are you still doing in here? Want me to get into your asshole? Is what I think the line is.
Let me help you scratch deep.
And then obviously he turns into like just an image of Sinister, but like that again, this is not your 92 X-Men. This is
97.
This is like, I don't know, give or take 5 years later. I would say
X-Men 420.
I was just not on board for Morph being in this when I first found out he was in there.
Mm.
And now he is representing queer culture in such a way that is so necessary for this show, mainly through shower scenes, but still through like a lot of great like fucking representation. Also being a queer ass bitch.
You know, Morph is
who?
He is
all of us.
Gay Iceman. So yes, all of us.
Oh yeah.
He is very much Iceman.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. He's and also the voice actor JP is doing fantastic. I think such an interesting character, so
killing
dynamic.
It. Yeah.
Very value add. What would you see in Inferno?
All of you.
Mine would definitely be everyone that I know and love actually hating me. I couldn't take it. It would
mine would
head.
Be the opposite of Beast. Instead of my mouth opening, it's someone sewing my mouth shut.
Oh, you're Deadpool in Wolverine Origins.
Oh, God, yeah.
Real answer?
Yes.
I did give a real
answer. I'm deluded into believing that I'm hosting a dinner, and then I give food poisoning to everyone there.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's just like one of my biggest nightmares.
So just a recent memory.
They show
it all. They're vomiting, they're shitting. They're vomiting and shitting everywhere.
It's Roman Origins.
So you've seen Triangle of Sadness.
I know, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And being on a boat.
You're that Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
My real answer is everything that I've ever organized just falls into dust, and I'm really bad at it. Like,
imposter syndrome kicking.
Yeah, it's just like, you don't know how to like organize shit. You don't know how to plan shit. You don't know how to do
open tables like goes out of business.
Open table just attacks me for no reason. Yeah.
Oh wait, no. Closed actually, I got table. A better one. I'm going to fist Wolverine, but it turns out it's Mr. Sinister.
We would love
that. So, yeah, the team reconvenes. We're trapped in hell. Thanks, Morph. They get dropped into mental limbo. We get Cyclops and Bishop doing a circuit charge. We get Bishop and Wolverine doing a semi-fastball special to save Beast.
I like that he didn't check in with him. He just sort of threw him.
Yeah.
Bishop don't have the time.
Well, yeah, we got this, right?
That's why it's the curveball special.
We've got a Demon Sentinel, but Jesus Gray comes from heaven to save everybody.
There was definitely a little bit of a Gandalf in the Hills kind of vibe to that.
Yeah. She then faints. We do.
Someone said, that's how you know it's the
real
Gene.
Yeah.
We do. Then we get Enter the Goblin Queen. Say my name, Scott. Big Envy Adam vibes. She's beyond Jean Grey, beyond the X-Men. She's Scorn and Fury. Forged in the righteous brimstone. Please welcome to the stage, the Goblin Queen. Loved her introduction. We do get Zombie Morph in the exposition as well.
We do, yeah.
So that's fun. Rogue and Mag show up and say, hey, we were fucking, what'd we miss?
Did her reach just not go into the danger room? Why were they so immune from experiencing anything?
Well, they were on patrol.
They were on, yeah, they were outside of the museum.
Oh, I thought they were in the danger room. I assume they're always in the danger room fucking, so that was on me.
No, they were on patrol, and then they're the next shift in the danger room.
Oh.
Jean can't control her powers. We got Scott with the perfect line of how can I lead the team when I can't even protect my own son?
Myself!
My own lady who I didn't make my son.
This sandwich!
He had a confusing line.
I love that when he fainted, it was like sympathy pains for Jean.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the sinister Frankenstein castle where he's exposing Cable to the techno-organic virus that we all know and love. Love the little phalanx detail.
Yep.
And that green juice. Magneto forms
clouds,
a team made of nobody. I don't know why so many people had to stay at home to take care of people.
You also, and then you as well. You, there's dishes. You, there's laundry. And you're like, why?
Have you guys done the chore wheel yet? Make sure you do the chore wheel before we go on any missions.
He was like, okay, Bishop, we realize you're not going to be in many episodes this season, so we'll bring you. More if you have trauma, so we'll bring you. And who else will be useless?
I guess Psyche, you're kind of fun.
Yeah, do you have any relation to all these genes? Bring here, you know what, you're in.
Yeah.
We then get about 25 seconds of pure cunt. Better listen, I know not what I do. You've got legs crossed, legs uncrossed, every gay person watching this became straight for a hot second.
Yes. This was Castlevania. At
and
this
then
point.
Gayer. Okay. Yes, agreed. Yes, it was so Castlevania.
So much. The action sequence alone, action sequence overall have just been incredible in this, and the Inferno animations were fantastic. This battle scene was goddamn fucking Castlevania. We do get magic in a very brief cameo.
You're not going to do the line? My
what
favorite
is it?
Line.
What is it? Say it.
Madeline
just do it,
says, oh, look, Scott, you followed me here. But of course, that's all you can do. Ask Professor X. So she transported back to the castle and like just started writing jokes.
Hold on, yeah. Goblin Queen immediately takes over Morph and makes him dark or them dark child.
So, quick question, not to freeze you, but so Morph's power is to turn into anyone he's in theory seen.
Yeah.
Magic has never shown up before, though, right?
She was in the cartoon, Ileana, but before she had any sort of powers. It was
so he imagined.
You don't remember Casas constantly going, Ileana!
I know, I remember that, but
they
never made her a magic version of
I
that.
I presumed it was
and never.
There's a window between when the end of the series ended and a year later when this
true.
Started.
That's true, we got that. Creepy window.
Also, remember, this is the cartoon that is saying that Angel is a founding member of the X-Men, yet he had no idea who they were.
I think it's gonna come back.
It could come back. Yeah.
You're whining about that while Morph can literally turn his body into pure metal or titanium or blades of energy.
The sword protruding from his body?
Oh, yeah, because that would be his body.
Yeah, and the sword changes based off of a weird Goblin Queen thing.
You know what? Forget the science. Forget the continuity. That was really great.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
I lost my mind.
Because of like the importance of Ileana in the original Inferno, so that was a nice little nod for us comic fans.
I think it's great that Plain Jane made it on the show.
Magneto fucks. This becomes Castlevania Nocturne. The fight scenes are incredible. She said, I don't give a shit if you can control metal. I can control everything.
Which makes sense because, you specifically have this one thing. I do everything. Yeah.
She could literally demagnetize tons of stuff.
She does get fucking face blasted and not in a good way. There's blood in my X-Men. I love it. It's also a good thing
that
of his Cyclops' powers. Like, it's because it's not heat. It's literally like fucking.
It's force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she just is like, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to make out with you. I'm going to turn into Pennywise because you're going to bleed too. And then we cut back to Jean and Wolverine, which everything that's building up, I just keep being like, are they trying to get us to just get Scott and Emma together at some point? Because like, this love triangle is on fire, and I feel like they rectified all of that.
I'm ready for a love rhombus now.
Amnesia Jean attempts to read Logan's mind. Remember me. She's like, I mean all of that to you. And I'm like, bitch, how stupid are you? You've been in five seasons of the
show. What are you talking
about? Oh, that's right. She didn't have her memories. I forgot.
I wish.
She's like, wait, they did all that to you in five seasons?
I wish he was like, yeah, you mean more. And she was like, I can read your mind. Yeah, that I'm not actually. Yeah. Like,
this is really forward for a person I just met. Yeah. Could you like chill?
Power of X-Men actually called out a really good sort of sequence that was a reference to the original. So the My Dear Not Go Anywhere of Beast. And then when she's like Beast to her here back in the hospital when she was Phoenix. And then she's like, and then that's all that it is. But she's like, my body won't be an issue, cunt.
And with that scene specifically, I screamed at the top of my lungs when she put her hair in a ponytail.
Oh, that was so good.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
So good.
We get a mind battle. You have Jean talking about the Phoenix. The world gets really meta. They flash back to Jean and Xavier's first meeting and her powers activating.
That was great, by the way. I'm glad that they did that flashback.
So cute.
Yeah.
So I know that we've read a ton of comics where this exact kind of thing happens. So it's a little bit tired and played out. In this circumstance, I really, really like it because it feels like the story that happened in Dark Web where they're moving past.
100%.
We have to fake fight each other.
Yes.
They're,
that's
like,
very true.
It goes along with Morph saying, by the way, she's a victim too.
Yeah.
Let's not like just like kill
her.
That
was great.
I think it helps progress this relationship in a more interesting way than waiting another season or something for
her. 100%.
The team, when they weren't comforting her earlier, must have gone to the empathy room or something for a while, because then at the end they were like,
oh, is that next to Danger Room?
It's really right next to
you have like a good cry there. Right there. You watch Finding Nemo or the first 15 minutes of Up.
After swallowing Maddie whole, there's a giant
The thing is, you have
baby.
To kill his wife in the empathy room.
She's reminded of her baby. She had 2 seconds
ago.
Oh,
I have a baby.
Motherhood breaks the curse. As three gay men,
yes.
Is motherhood the purest love?
Why is there there's
two people
four
can share?
Of us here?
I'm not answering this question.
Oh, okay.
I have to remain impartial as the facilitator.
No. Serving cunt is.
No, but like motherhood. Motherhood.
I'd say relatedly giving is. what part of motherhood is reveals, though?
Serving.
Yeah. All right, so then we get to Operation Save Nathan, because the Goblin King.
She's only a goblin.
Goblin.
Oh my
She's
God.
The Goblin,
the goblin
queen.
King. She's just tearing up this town.
Goblin Queen,
honey.
Goblin all that up.
So there's green blood everywhere because Cyclops is using his powers.
Yeah.
Women are really doing it for themselves this season. So Jean's Jesus. Maddie's got fucking telekinetic shields, and she's like, everyone's like holding
Do you
her
think,
own.
Okay, I didn't actually really think about this, but the Goblin Queen versus Jean picking a angelic form to come down and save.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Judeo-Christian.
Gross.
That's our country.
Jean starts with the same letter as Jesus.
And it's Easter.
Jesus
it's
Christ.
Easter.
Maddie and Cyclops take down Sinister, but not before he escapes. And as Nathan's telekinetic...
they watched him walk away.
She like literally stared at
they
him as he vanished.
They watched him fade into...
And then she turned back and was like,
I'll see you later.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, back at the mansion, Beast confirms that there's, you know, there was a hope for an invincibility around the usage of this. This is where his... arm also came from in the comics?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's
cool.
Fine.
I love
it. Kaylin, have you ever experienced it where it was green, though? Was that jarring to you? That
a little
it was
jarring.
Like,
yeah, the green, the techno-organic
I
stuff.
I mean, I love a 80s pop, but
I was
like,
going to say,
I think
very
they,
92.
I think they needed to show it, like, versus, like, in the comics, it's, like, more silvery, more techno-looking, metallic.
And next time, they'll be like, green fades to silver.
I think it's probably they'll probably just make it look more like the phalanx yellow and black.
Correct. Yeah,
because
yeah,
they showed that
reason.
Part already. So that this was the green
I just thought
juice.
It was very jarring to see the green like that. Maybe it's
I think
it's sort
makes
of remin-
it look he has leprosy.
It may be reminiscent of her sort of green powers that she was using for.
But
too.
Like if you're like looking at a science lab.
I am.
Green is like sciencey. Yellow is like pissy.
Yeah. But it's also the color of slime in Nickelodeon. Yeah.
It's just a bit odd because they showed the black and gold stuff in the tube. So
it's
weird
like
that
cloud.
One it hasn't formed yet. Yeah. So back at the mansion, you know, they're like, we can't cure this in this time. And guess what? We just happen to have a time traveler on the team.
Yep. Yeah.
So Bishop has to take Nathan through himself. We get Cyclops's fantastic breakdown, huge positive masculinity of like, look, it's really hard to be fucking abandoned, bitches. Like, I'm not going to
I'm not doing
here.
What my dad did to me. Like, that was great.
Loved it.
This is my Beast is an asshole number 3.
This is a Beast hating podcast.
Beast's only, they didn't really even give like good odds. Like, they didn't ask Bishop, hey, Bishop, is there a cure in the future? They're just like, there's probably one. Bishop, go take the kid there. Could you, any follow-up questions, Beast? None. You're the worst scientist in existence.
It all happened
off
screen.
Bishop did say, I know a guy to that effect.
He has a bangle.
Yeah, I know a guy that's also here in this time period right now. So yeah, Maddie and Nathan share a moment, really beautiful. Like again, the way that they've played out Maddie's character in just 30 minutes, absolutely incredible.
It's insane.
Before we leave Bishop and baby Nathan, Ryan, did you get like a vibe of like Cable and Hope like being in the future and
ooh,
Bishop hunting them and
what?
It's like kind of a flip?
Yes, and you know I love that relationship. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ooh. Maddie hits the road. Jean tries to make her stay. She remembers everything. Then you remember how much I've wanted to go. Everyone does, because all she did was talk for 2 episodes about how she wanted to leave.
Are you guys glad that they didn't do the origin story thing where it's like, but why do they call you Magneto? And he looks, and there's like a sign that says Magneto Boy Electronics. And he's like, I'll take that. There's no like Madeline Pryor like, Oh, I was reading a book on birthing babies that was written by Madeline Pryor.
In the Gene flashback, the girl that got hit by the car was called Maddie. Madison.
Maddie. And then Pryor is because that's their previous existence.
I used to get hit by cars. So Madeline.
Wait, but you all.
But they didn't zoom in.
But you don't remember when real Gene is like, no, your real name. And she's like, Maddie Skywalker.
No, your last name.
A noble future with an unknowable past. I love that they mixed and matched it. They're like, we're not going to tell you who. We're not going to tell you when. We don't want to waste this time. It's not worth it.
We don't know the answers. And honestly, we're a kids show.
It's a little fun speculation game you to play for yourself.
Question for you. How long from when True Gene showed up to Maddie leaving? How long?
23 minutes.
That whole time frame.
Yeah, it was just the entire episode.
How long do you think that time frame is from? Because she went through a lot of
emotions. She's going to need tons of therapy.
She went from over two days.
You think that long? Yeah. I would say a day.
It's 24 to 36 hours.
Like on one day at night, New Gene shows up.
Yeah.
Beast does the science tests, and the next morning reports all this stuff, and then in the night, Maddie goes crazy.
But that's a lot of emotions to go through. So like,
kid show.
It's a kid show.
We do get Storm at To Kill a Mockingbird in Dallas. She's got her iconic black outfit with that beautiful fucking mohawk. And then someone asked her, if only someone could make it rain. And it's
on
four.
This mustache.
Yeah, someone could piss on my mustache.
What?
You're
going to judge what Forge thinks is sexy?
There was like eight other guys who came and hit on Storm, and then Forge was the next one to show up. He's like, what? You want me to piss on you too? I don't know. I'm a friend of Charles Xavier's.
So they have met before.
They have met before because he's the leader of X Factor. Well, he's got gray hair, but he's got like, he looks younger.
Was she also in that episode though? I thought she didn't help that team.
Our personal beast, Clark put together a slide of her standing directly next to Forge.
That was during, I think, what, Beyond Good and Evil? Or Phalanx Covenant. That's what it was. So, yeah, there was still some level of, you should
Here's
probably know this person.
My no prize explanation. Storm is a gay man that can't remember when she's met somebody. Yeah. And we all know that guy.
You're just racking up no prizes, huh?
I really am. I have
she's
a lot.
She's drinking right
Don't
there,
Don't forget
too.
To cash in. Yeah,
she's
I'm like...
drinking.
I feel like I'm 90% sure she was at least not in the X Factor one. That would be a real glaring one, but I thought she wasn't on the team. I meant to look that up before we started. But anyway, there was also a comic that came out this week, X-Men 97 number one, Steve Fox, Salvador Espin. Caleb, why don't you tell us about it?
So filling the gap between the 90s animated series and the new cartoon, including the third episode we just talked about, this is a four-issue miniseries that has the X-Men rescuing Ryan's favorite, a.k.a. Dazzler, from the Friends of Humanity.
I love that was the four-issue miniseries. It was just them rescuing Dazzler.
Yeah. There was an editor's note, Ryan's favorite.
Ryan's favorite, yeah. They know that you love her so much.
Editor's note, see Ryan Krull.
See Ryan Krull run. Storm reveals her new haircut in her like amazing like Chanel outfit in this issue.
We need to talk about this outfit because we said this last week that she was wearing her iconic orange dress with the little green triangles on the side. And then that bitch sewed it into a suit. She was normally
Why not? Why not? Why not?
It was the Marge Simpson effect.
Yeah, it's like the Chanel suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rogue's got the colors. And then
It could make sense because, you know, Emma shows up sort of with the same color profile at all times.
White.
So it's, yeah.
I think it's pronounced Emma.
I'll tell you who needed the makeover. Fucking Dazzler in this issue because they ruined her in 92 with that shitty ass haircut and that terrible. Like, she just fell off.
I'm so sorry. I'm so glad to see her. But what I need her to do is bleach her head until it burns blonde. I'm sorry.
You don't like a brunette Dazzler? A dirty blonde Dazzler?
It's sort of like a red, like an auburn or something.
But
like
that is her. She's got a little reddish blonde. She's strawberry blonde.
I don't need to see her natural color. I want to see that lady blonde.
Like, I know it's her, even the Pride of the X-Men outfit, her 80s outfit, but like, it just, the color seems so
I don't love the costume in the animated series.
Oof, yeah, I hope they
give because... I love, obviously, original Disco Dazzler is great. I love her Outback outfit, and I loved some of her other outfits.
this one's not good.
Yeah.
Loved the bit part of her being like, I guess you never did come back to that bar, huh? And Scott was like,
But good call out, good reference.
I'm so glad that they're bringing her back as a known character and that they've also seemingly formed more of a relationship with her.
So the rest of the issue, Jean, in quotes, tells Scott that she's preggers, and the Nasty Boys get fired by Mr. Sinister for sheer incompetence.
When I tell you that I saw Ruckus at that concert and I knew he had a mouthful, I said, sign me the fuck
up. You were at that concert.
Pretty intense. Yeah. I was on my ass. I was like, oh my God. Vertigo to do shit. Clark must be so upset.
It's so nice to see all of our friends, but Dazzler and the crew, but it's sad to know that this potentially means that they're not going to be in the actual X-Men 97 series because he's Scott, or not Scott, what?
Sinister?
He has more free reign to actually, like, write all these characters because they
Steve
Sinister.
Well, it's already Sinister's, like, Marauders, basically, they show.
Yeah, that's at the very, very end. So we get, like, so this is my question for you, Ryan, actually. Do you think we're going to get Mutant Massacre in this comic, or do you think they're going to wait for it in the cartoon with the Morlocks getting, like, decimated?
I kind of want it for the cartoon, but I
think it has to be, because it would have been weird for them to save the Morlocks in the first episode or the second episode and not have anything related to that.
I'm assuming, I would hope that most of the miniseries, because only four issues, I think it's going to be mostly preview and tie-in, I would assume, of what's transpiring on screen, kind of filling in some of the blanks.
Right.
But I agree with you.
They're setting up Executioner, for example.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm glad they're also setting up the Gambit and Rogue shopping trips where they figure out where Gambit's getting that crop top from. I think that's an important scene, and I want them to keep searching for Gambit's crop top.
The only pin I'll put in any convert, this is why I don't like them as a couple, and I actually like Rogue and Magneto. All they talk about is Rogue going, God, it really would be nice to touch somebody, and Gambit going, don't worry, Cher, you could touch me sometime. And then they never talk about anything else.
From New Orleans, Egypt.
You could touch me sometime.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I think Rogue and Gambit getting together in the 90s ruined both characters
for me.
Because I was an early Gambit stan. I thought he was really fucking cool. I had his first appearance. And then I like Rogue a lot, too.
The bisexual flag colors, you're like, yeah.
Yes, bitch. And I also love Rogue very much from the Outback era into, like, the Jim Lee era. But when they kept getting together, I was, like, so bored.
Yeah.
I did not. I was an anti-shipper. Max DeLam.
A shipwrecker?
A shipwrecker, yeah. Shipper shipwreck. We played that once, yeah.
All right. That's it for X-Men 97.
Guys, so I got to thinking lately.
No, I don't believe you.
careful.
Yeah, it might be burning up. With Easter just around the corner, I was thinking maybe we could play a little Easter game. You know, Gene has risen, and so I would like to
like we always used to do.
Hey, this game sounds excellent.
Thank you so much. With that said, we're gonna play a little game called Easter Egg or Egg on Your Face. Okay. So what I'm gonna do
is a simple
just an easy basic game. You know. You've done it at your family parties. You've done it at bachelorette parties.
This is on the Game Show Network. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. So I'm going to give you an Easter egg related question. I'll give you four options. You just got to guess the right answer. You know what? I got prizes for you guys. It's going to be great.
Ooh.
So
no prize.
Okay. The prize is you get to listen to me. Kaylin, why don't we start with you?
Okay.
So these are all Easter eggs. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Because 'tis the season. In this list. Which member has not been on X-Force before?
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Puck, Elixir, Dr. Nemesis, or Magic?
Brent, you're going to do great at this.
Puck, Elixir,
Dr. Nemesis
and
or
Magic.
And who has not been on an X-Force team?
If you don't guess
I think it's Elixir or Magic.
You are incorrect.
Ooh. It's Magic.
Rotten eggs. Rotten eggs.
Egg on your face.
God damn it. When was Elixir on X-Force?
He was on that that weird sort of it was that team when Elixir and Wither were on it, where they had the really like great art. I don't know. It happened, baby.
Okay, all right.
I believe him.
So it was a
egg on your face.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I think it was David Yost's run.
Chris Yost?
Yeah, Chris.
Okay. David, no, his brother.
His David.
Why can't I come with Chris? What you can't see or smell is that we have literally thrown 10 bags of rotten egg on kitchen's floor.
It's well, delicious.
Adam, let's go to you. Okay. I'm going to name four mutants, and you tell me which mutant has not appeared in an X-Men film.
Okay.
Siren, Husk, Quill, and Ink. Which one has not appeared in any of the X-Men films? You are incorrect.
Oh,
rotten egg.
Ow, egg on my face.
Ink was unfortunately in Days of Future Past. Husk is the only one that has not appeared.
For some reason, I thought she was somewhere in this. And I'm really angry at you because I know that there is someone breaking into my apartment, dumping 10.
what movie was Siren in?
I knew that
X2?
One.
Yeah. Remember when they break into
she's a little
the
girl.
Institute and they go,
oh, you're right. You're
that
right.
was the one I knew. And then I got tripped
I knew
and Quill was easy because that always comes around.
Right. So was Magic the one who was
Magic
not,
was
not on X-Force?
Yes, yeah, correct.
God damn it. So mad at myself.
That's what I actually thought. That one.
I was surprised
like,
you didn't get that.
It.
Okay. So, Brent, let's go to you.
Wait, did we scream egg on your face?
Egg on your face.
Rotten eggs.
You're right. Okay, Brent, this one's for you. When Jubilee became a vampire, she complained about not being able to age. What age was she when she turned into a vampire?
Ooh,
what 19, 20, 17, and 16. And the cops are listening, so be careful with your answers.
Sorry. So the ages were 16, 17, 19, and 20?
19, 20, 17, and 16. I don't know why I didn't go in order.
She was 19.
She was 17, you sick
fuck. Yeah, oh, no, that's on you. Egg on your face. Egg on your face.
Rotten. Honestly, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But then they threw a birthday party for her, but she didn't technically age because he was frozen. You know, she's a vampire or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I get it. That's the yolk.
Egg on my face. Egg on my face.
Okay, let's go back to you.
Okay.
Your house already had 10 pounds of rotten eggs.
What does that mean?
Your
it's
house
a taco
is a
place next to you. They're making breakfast tacos.
Rotten eggs. Kaylin, I'm gonna tailor this one for you. In Morrison's new X-Men run, Quentin Quire formed a group known as Omega Gang. That's the
period.
First
okay.
And took to the streets of New York to avenge the death of which mutant?
Jumbo Carnation.
Ah, good job.
I didn't even need the answers.
Sophie Cuckoo, Angel Salvador, Martha Johansson. Great job.
So what do we say now? That no eggs for you.
No, Easter
you
eggs.
You just found an egg.
Easter eggs. Easter
open egg. It up. It's,
all right, put
it's
those
gold.
10 pounds of eggs on top of the rotten eggs.
Adam, okay. One of your favorite lines from the original X-Men animated series is a Morlock saying, covered in scorpions.
Okay.
What is that woman's name?
Annabelle. Annalee.
Annalie is correct.
Yes.
Oh.
Annabelle's the doll.
Hey.
They look
the
same.
Guys.
Yeah. Right.
Number one, Easter eggs.
Easter eggs. You found my eggs.
But I don't like this precedent we're setting where we're guessing before he goes through the multiple choice because some of us might need those choices.
I didn't realize mine always had multiple choice. I thought you were just asking.
No,
me.
And then
on the second round, they don't.
Okay, so, Brent, and we're going to close out with you on this very gorgeous Easter week.
If this doesn't have multiple choice, I'm killing
you. You know, Ryan, this was the
you
greatest
know what? I'll
game.
Throw in multiple.
This is the greatest mini game we've ever had, and I really hope that whatever wraps it up really just makes it that much more special.
Me too. Brent, the term Easter egg, meaning a hidden surprise in media, was created in 2003. Brent, who invented the term Easter egg?
Wow. Was it John Easter egg?
I'll give you some options. And you know what? I've been struggling with Steve's today, so let me give you four Steve options.
Okay.
You know? Steve Jobs.
Okay.
I'll give you one. Steve Wright.
Yeah.
Steve Chen. And Steve Wilhite. Ooh, this is tough.
I did not know those.
I feel like the back of my brain knew this at some point, but I don't remember it.
Well, let's go through the Steve.
No. Because I'm going to go with, I feel like Steve, if the second one or the third one sounds right, but I'll say this, Steve Wright.
You are right.
Yay.
So Steve Jobs, we know Steve Wright was one of the creators of Atari, and he put Easter eggs in his games.
Right, it was Adventure.
Yes, exactly.
Fuck, that's so
Steven
funny.
Steven Chen helped found YouTube, and Will had invented GIFs, or the term GIF.
Oh. I was going to say, I was like, they had to be real people, because that last one, I was like,
so you
would
all
not
did
write
good,
down.
But Brent really delayed on that Took last one, egg. So he's probably the last place, though. So I have some prizes
excuse
for you.
Excuse me. Proportionally, I think I got the hardest question.
Yeah, but there was a timer. Your score was going down the
Adam,
whole time.
Adam, you're getting Cadbury eggs.
Ooh.
They're siren.
Kaylin, you're getting a Peeps flashlight.
Oh, my God.
Now,
oh my
this
God.
Is the same kind of Peeps flashlight the police use.
Corporate America's really reached a new level.
And then, Brent, you're getting a bag with an egg in it. And because it's egg on your face, I would like you to smash it on your forehead.
Is it an actual? Yeah.
And it's sealed up, so you can just smash it on your
is
forehead.
Is it a real, like?
It's a real egg.
Do you want to? You know, like
take a photo of you with it? No.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very nervous. Like,
oh, yeah.
How strong is this bag?
Some of the best.
If I smash this bag over our production equipment,
then the podcast is over.
The podcast is over. I swear to Christ.
Forever.
Goodbye. Okay. Ready? Here we go.
I've been videoing the whole time.
Egg on my face.
Oh.
So gross. It feels so gross in my hand. I don't
That's
like
great.
Oh.
Brent, you won, but lost.
You got egg on your face.
Great. Thank you for doing that,
guys. Do you
know
that game you do where you're like, there's an egg on your head, and
boom,
it's yolk just running down.
And it runs.
Only from BoJack.
It is not relaxing.
We're going to throw that in the trash, please. I don't want to just
I'm throwing that in the trash.
Thank you.
Why don't you just feed it to me?
Cook in this household.
Turn that video back on.
I'll get a whiskey sour.
And guys, and that was
Easter
egg or egg on your face.
Or did it happen to the X-Men?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed
it. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'm mad I did not get magic.
I know.
I'm really mad about that.
I'm mad, too.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Are you mad or are you disappointed? All right. So the issues, even though we discussed one issue as related to X-Men 97, we have a bunch more this week. And so the issues, it's our weekly recap of all things X, as well as what we're picking up in all things the new Ultimate Universe. And this week we've got The Rise of Powers of 10, number 3, Cable number 3, X-Force number 50, Wolverine number 46, Ultimate Spider-Man number 3, and X-Men Unlimited Infinity number 132. We got a lot, y'all. We're going to go through this quickly, as Ryan would say. So let's start with X-Force number 50. The writer is Benjamin Percy, artist Robert Gill. A whimper, not a bang, is how the series ends. The two beasts have first an ideological, then a physical fight, because the current darker beast wants to put all the mutants in a black hole while he kills all of Orcus, while the old school younger beast doesn't.
Obviously.
Yeah. So the evil beast then dies off screen while X-Force sits around a table waiting to be taken out by Sabretooth. If this comic were a drag queen, its name would be Anticlimactic.
See, I'm surprised you felt that way. I mean, this real biased write-up. I did not love it, but I did like it. I liked it a lot, actually, because I thought it was a lot more interesting to have a lot of dialogue. And then also, they rapidly had to advance the Wonder Man-Beast relationship. And as a reader who never saw any of it, they did such a good job, I thought, of at least Defenders, Beast, and Wonder Man connecting and a little bit of banter. So that when it was obviously like very ham-fisted, very rushed to the end, but I did appreciate some of the choices that were made, and I didn't like feel, I felt things, I guess, where.
That's fair. Here's my issue. Many, many issues. This comic
is 50.
Is right. This comic has taken its sweet fucking time because it is out of like the current timeline of the Fall of House of X, Rise of Powers of 10. This comic had the time to do this right, theoretically.
Yeah.
And it still felt rushed.
Railroaded.
What were y'all doing all this time?
They were warming up.
It was 3 issues
the
of
first
Ghost 50 Protocol.
Issues. You
49
warm up.
Issues to warm up.
Warm up.
Speed up at the end.
Well, the Ghost Protocol step. They wasted 3 fucking issues on that. They could have jumped immediately into the storyline and extended it far longer.
I mean, the philosophical stuff between the two beasts, I think, was interesting. Yeah. Like finding out about the black hole stuff, like really, really great, and then he's killed off screen, which tells me that he's probably not dead.
Yeah. I am totally fine with the premise of someone's like, listen, I made a decision that I was going to do the right thing no matter how many wrong things I had to do along the way. Fine with that moral choice. What I hate here is that if you think about this for more than half a second, you'll realize how stupid this beast has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because his plan is kill all of Orcus. Which isn't like a group of people. It's not like he can kill the line of people that would become Orcus or anyone who would start an organization against mutants. It's not like mutants don't produce non-mutant babies. It's just absolutely insane to think you're going to be able to kill an organization off and that there isn't going to be some other group of humans that's quite furious that you did that.
I sort of saw it as more like, we're just going to take over this planet. We're going to delete Orcus, take control of it, and then we can bring the mutants back.
But I don't think that makes sense as a plan because if I the way Beast kind of describes it, it's like, I'll get rid of Orcus and I'll fix everything and then I'll bring the mutants back. And it's like, no, there's no bringing the mutants back. They would always hate you for this choice.
Yeah. Here's the thing that also drives me nuts, because I was an early lover of this series. I know a lot of people gave it flack. I think Adam and you and I probably liked it the most.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the biggest running fan of this, and I still liked it.
Conceptually, I think it's great. Like, when you create a nation, you need like some kind of a, you know, intelligence entity, a black ops team to be able to protect your interests. Mm-hmm. And once the nation fell, it's almost like you could have found a reason for it to continue, and you could have had, you know, differing ideological bents between Beast and like the others. And it just all felt very, very like haphazard and just rushed to get to this ending. And I don't know. I'm like, you spent 50 issues to come here. I'm very annoyed.
I was going to say, I think that maybe I like the evil Beast. I like them like building an entire case against him, and all. I like a lot of the details about it. I think I'd probably would have preferred if Beast was just like, you know what? Right now, things are just too untenable for me to be able to execute this plan. I'm going to go off to space and I'm going to go do shit. And then some other writer, if they want to pick me up, I could have formed like a space psychotic army to come take over Earth or something. I don't know. But like, don't do this, oh, I've got to save Wonder Man, stop the nuke kind of thing. Don't half-ass your villain.
So I think that what they were likely doing was trying to hold on to some level, shred of humanity, so when he does come back, because I agree, the death was certainly off-screen and was very, it was literally like a page left
in the
book.
I was confused. I was like, I'm blasting here? Like, where was he?
It felt very much like the Mean Girls, where it's like, and that's when Beast died. Or maybe not. Like, they just got hit. Like,
well, yes.
I said on Twitter, it felt very much like the episode of Simpsons where they're doing Lord of the Flies. And it's like, oh, the kids, they got saved by, I don't know, Mo?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like, what? Yeah. It's just like you wrote yourself into an ending and you had a kind of a deus ex machina, but not even a really good deus ex machina.
Well, it was basically like he knew that all of this content, and we're gonna talk about Wolverine right now, but it's like was going to go to 12 out of 10 anyway with the fucking Sabretooth War. So it was kind of like any giant revelations or experience they would have had here would have been nothing, because it would have, like, to your point, looking at the front of the book made me laugh so hard, because like, this takes place before Sabretooth War, but also before this, but also before this, but also before, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, this should have been produced weekly.
I laughed so hard, and it's the last page where they're just sitting around that table in their new headquarters just waiting for Sabretooth to come kill them.
Oh my God.
That's what's happening next, and we're well into it.
Mine was slightly up on that page when they're like, Omega Red graduated college. With his girlfriend, and you're like, what is it?
The
is
Animal
this
House
it
ending.
It was totally a college
I'm like,
movie
what are
ending.
We doing?
That's funny.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to Wolverine number 46. Writers are Victor Laval and Benjamin Percy. The artist is Corey Smith. Picking up from the previous issue, Sabretooth is using Kid Omega's power to manipulate Wolverine into helping him.
I loved this.
It was very good.
Such a fun, like, mystical,
good,
like, we're creating this universe.
Good duo.
Yeah.
Sabretooth and
he's fun.
And Kid Omega, who would have thought?
The
I
artwork
love it.
Was beautiful too. It's the good. Constant cuts between what was a reality, what was not. Just a fantastic. I
the art
just like it. Everything else that's been happening, Tony and Emma, etc. I'm like, oh, I'm really kind of into this more than I should be. Like, the Sabretooth War is actually interesting to me.
It's gotten good. It's had a very weak beginning, or like just like very visceral.
What the fuck?
Not, yeah, I didn't really love it at first.
Not for kids.
Don't open this
not,
book.
And definitely not for kids, but it is very good. So the Exiles show up in Krakoa to stop Sabretooth, and during the melee, Quentin Quire frees Logan from Creed's thrall. So the issue ends with Sabretooth taking out Wolverine's invulnerability thanks to Forge's depowering gun.
Can we talk about that he got rid of it? He broke his concentration after he killed all the Exiles?
Essentially, yes.
It's like,
well, yeah. Quentin Quire just moved a little too slowly.
Yeah,
it
was just,
like,
I was very confused. I was
he
like,
he doesn't have a body. Leave him alone. Yeah,
yeah, it's just a head.
Can we talk about the Exiles real quick? And
yeah,
then
of course.
We'll come to the invulnerability gun, the humanizing gun. Like, what was Necra's plan? She's like, fire all your missiles and then like, go under the wall. Like, I don't understand what her sequence of thinking was.
It's something with the Death Seed. It looked like a Mystique's necklace, yeah. But it was the Death Seed. And so I don't know.
And for those of us who don't know what the Death Seed is, hypothetically.
I was confused.
Yeah, it's like what is the Death Seed?
Yeah, I'm assuming to plant it there and then that will.
It's the seed that grows Apocalypse, essentially.
Of course, yeah, but.
Everyone knows that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
I knew it was related to Apocalypse. I know how it worked. Yeah. I remember that's been around.
It's like if you need to farm Apocalypse.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about was I thought Laura's scene was great, where the headless saber teeth bring her meal. She basically rips off one of their little collar
attachment
thing. I just need this. I don't need the food. What do you think she's going to do with it?
Put it on her head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Both are correct answers.
This is the Smart Analysis Weekly we're talking about.
Yeah. Anything else on this issue?
No. I think she's going to stump him. Because it's the next stump? I don't know.
I will say I'm very impressed that he did all this work to get a depowering gun to shoot Wolverine to kill it. Like, it was just sort of like, okay, I guess
how
that's the plot.
How many depowering guns are up in this gig?
That is
right
the same
now.
One, right?
That's the same one. Yeah.
Is it the same?
Yeah.
Wolverine's whole thing is like but Force 5. Every day we've got to do the same thing, kill Hitler.
But doesn't Xavier have one? But I guess that's in the future, which is in the past, which is in the current,
which is a great transition.
It's a great segue to the rise of Powers of 10 number 3. The writer is Kieran Gillen. Artist is R.B. Silva. Charles Xavier attempts to kill baby Hitler, Moira MacTaggert, right before her powers kick in her 10th life.
She's so cute. She's just skipping along.
She's like, I'm just eating porridge or whatever. Yeah. Whatever time.
Why
frame.
Is she? Okay. Yes. She's.
She's
Scottish,
generically
not English.
White.
I think, Mommy, I'm the queen of the harpies.
I'm queen of the harpies. There's your crown, your majesty. What year is it, Mother?
Is it St. Swithin's Day already?
1800 or something?
Excuse me, Mother. What day is it?
Is the
why? Why it's Christmas.
British,
it's Christmas.
Most British accent ever.
Okay, all right. So, Rasputin discovers that Doug Ramsey is actually Mr. Sinister, so she attempts to stop and, with Scani's help, eventually convince Xavier that killing Moira is both morally and strategically bad. So instead, Charles shoots Scani and Rasputin kills Sinister. Bet she didn't see that coming. Meanwhile, the adult Moira makes her Faustian bargain with Enigma. What do we think is happening here?
I think all this makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Explain it to us.
Perfect.
Charles is a shithead, and...
Go on.
Kieran Gillen is not going to let you forget that because he did try and fire that trigger.
Yeah.
There was a moment where little Moira, you're like, oh my God, is Charles going to kill this kid? No, wait. She's 300,000 years old.
So that's the only part.
I'm not going to feel sad about this kid.
Yeah.
They're a monster. Okay. Yeah. But what's going on? Ascani has had this whole thing. I got to get the Phoenix Force back because the Phoenix Force has been killed in the White Hot Room by Dominion.
Yes.
The way that Charles is going to do that is by killing Ascani, who has the Phoenix Force a piece inside her and resurrect it. Yeah. I don't know why
you just
he
just recapped it.
I don't know why he's so.
You're like, no, it all makes sense. But here's exactly what happened. No, but I agree. I am 100% agree. This issue is fantastic.
I think it made sense. So
I thought all the pieces
came
together.
If I'm just recapping it, then I believe it made sense the first time.
No, I think all the pieces came together. I thought all the conversations were excellent. I actually don't. I'm glad the baby Hitler thing doesn't fit because she's literally lived 10 lives.
Yeah.
So it's like you are. So fucking old, you're an adult, which is why the conversation
and you've done some horrible shit
was brilliant.
Lives,
yeah, exactly. So it was like such a valuable conversation to it. Myra's current character still Moira. Moira still has no fucking. I still don't understand who she is because she's like, whatever, I'll do this now. I guess.
This is issue 3. I felt this was the strongest so far because it's definitely the most coherent. Like, I feel like, okay, yeah, this is some trippy shit, but at the same time. This is telling me a very compelling story because of the conversation between Charles and Moira, Ascani's discovery that, oh, fuck, Charles's plan is really monstrous. Rasputin finding out finally that Doug is sinister. So good. And also Moira basically making her own fucking deals and trying to outsmart Enigma, which is great.
I have one quibble with it, which is that I really wish Charles didn't pull the trigger and that instead tried to have one more attempt at the Krakoan era, which is second chances. Because I actually think this is a perfect analog to the killing the baby Hitler.
Mm.
It doesn't matter when you became evil or what you've done. You still have second chances change and improve. And the fact that a telepath did not think to wipe someone's memory is insane to me. That is just absolutely absurd.
Well, that's ethically not fair.
Well, I guess, fine. Be unfair. Maybe don't murder. I would say brain
wipes. It's more ethical to murder someone than is to wipe their mind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say
the elephant in the room. Yeah.
So I will say, you know, the last 2 years we've been kind of annoyed at Moira's heel turn. It's felt very abrupt, very Daenerys at the end of Game of Thrones, an analogy you used before, Adam. I am starting to retroactively enjoy it a little bit more, and I think it's a little bit, with even spoilers, or a little bit of our conversation with Jordan White, Brent, of like Moira's ultimate desire is just pure survival, and she's got to do whatever she can, and so she will, like, it's even more than like the survival of the mutant race. It's even more than like
me
helping her friends. It's me. It's self preservation. That is a motivation I can get behind.
I 100% agree. This issue made me so happy because that kind of just singular as a, you know, 900-year-old woman, I don't know what ages she lived every year, but the fact that she was, it was so specifically like,
it wasn't
100 like, every single time. 2, 2, 5, 13, 3,486, 3, 14.
But I just, again, like such, I do think it's going to be like read back, see it all together. This is making it better, which I'm so excited about to see in these kind of 11th hour moments.
Is Rachel dumb?
Yeah.
Or is she just gullible?
Stupid. She's dumb.
Okay.
She's gotta be dumb.
I've never been a huge fan, but I love this outfit she's wearing. I hate to see her die in it, you know?
It's her gorgeous gown. It's
her second favorite costume of mine. Maybe third.
You like she's the S&M one, too.
I like that one, yeah.
She's from the future.
Aren't we all, baby?
People have heard that Charles is an asshole.
That's true, but
she has a one-up on everyone else who meets Charles today.
Yep. But she's from the future where everybody's really dumb and she's the smart one.
But wasn't she from a future that Magneto
Idiocracy.
Was in charge?
Xavier
died, so she don't know.
Yeah. She doesn't know any better.
I think this is her demise. She might still be around, but I think we've seen enough of
Rachel.
No, she's coming back.
No, she'll be in a book.
Fuck. That's
her. You want her, you want them to refrigerate your lesbians?
No. I support all women.
Yeah.
Keep them hot.
Let's move on. X-Men. Oh my God.
That's when you like amp up a character.
I'm ready to microwave.
Guys,
we're not refrigerating these women. We're microwaving them.
We're a queer podcast. We cannot microwave the lesbians on here.
We're
okay?
We're encouraging them to heat up on the outside, but ultimately still stay cold on the inside.
But enough about my sex life. All right, X-Men Unlimited number 132. The writers are the Steves. It's Steve Fox, Steve Orlando, and the artist is Philip Seve. The external sagas continues as Mirage, Trinary, and Wizkid go all Voltron on Gideon's ass. Adam, which other X characters would you like to give mech suits to? Because not a lot happens, but it's a really fun looking issue.
Give it to Nature Girl. Give her everything. I just want that bitch to have everything.
Mech suit.
She's Nature.
Was this Voltron or just regular Tron?
They're
like the digital. We are fighting in a digital space.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't know.
No, I mean, what was that a reference to?
Oh, the what Tron?
Oh, no, I was, because there is like a...
I'm referring to Tron, where they're put into a video game.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And they are forced to play Olympics.
No, I didn't mean to...
In order to live.
No, because my brain went spinning, because there was like a Power Rangers knockoff that was semi-Voltron-esque.
Oh,
where they
VR...
went. It wasn't
Warriors?
VR Troop. Oh, VR Troopers is one.
Tattoo teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills.
Sadly, I'm not, like, I know all of it. It's not Big Bang Beetleborgs either. There was like
Did
some
I have a stroke.
There was some weird one where they literally would go into their computer to fight viruses as like.
That's not
power.
VR Troopers.
No, that was they were still out. They were transforming using technology versus the power of the dinosaurs.
It's a real thinky issue. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't have any other characters.
It's what I like about this, Kaylin, to answer your question you didn't ask. Was. We always spend so much time in the astral plane. It was fun to see this
in
sort
the
of like
the what?
The binastral plane.
The tech plane, whatever we might call it.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see it sort of like done on the tech side of it.
It was. And it's clear that like the Steves and Philip were having so much fun just like putting them in little like mech suit
kind of
things.
And I love both of those I love Trinarian WizKid.
They're yeah, just so fun.
I love a circumstance Wiz where man. your characters are doing like what feels like the important mission, and as it turns out, it's like a side quest that they come back out. And their whole island is falling out of the space.
Yes,
and you're like,
yes.
Oh, wait, there's
a real Kanto bite, as we call it.
There's a bigger issue here.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Cable number 3. The writer is Fabian Nicieza. The artist is Scott Eaton. In a completely unrelated storyline, and after fighting her clones, the Cables head to the Parisian suburbs to take on Black Womb. The older Cable wants to kill her for crimes, and the younger Cable is seemingly convinced to kill his older self. Ryan, is this just the same plot as Emily as Paris?
No, it's Madame Web, actually.
Oh, it is Madame Web.
She was dressed as Madame Web the entire time.
Right.
What the fuck? That's a good joke, and I'm sorry to step on it.
That's fine. You're good. I fucked up the joke.
What happens in Emily in Paris? Sorry.
She gets a mech suit.
Right. Her older self wants to kill this person, but it doesn't happen.
Is that really what Emily in Paris is about?
No.
That'd be so fun, though.
Oh, my God. That sounds way more interesting.
I'd watch it either way.
I assumed it was about a woman eating a baguette.
That's the spin-off. The A in Paris is spelled with a fork. It's supposed to show you it's technologically advanced.
This got cooking for me when, as soon as they left her in the dust and they started to go back to the normal timeline, because I did not really care about the main story, I guess.
This is competent. It's old school in a way I sometimes enjoy, but I do not understand what the point is right now. Mm. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's because you're anti-neocracy.
Maybe it's
true.
Lesson on being like, oh, you think what you're doing is so important? There's more important things to do out there.
Oh, and you think Cables are doing the more important things.
I mean, this was rated the number one comic by the Neocracy.
Is that the Neo, like the villains from when Claremont came back?
Oh, please don't talk of that.
No, that's all we're going to talk about now.
Please do, don't speak of it.
All right, our last issue of the week. We're switching over. It's Ultimate Spider-Man number 3. Writer is Jonathan Hickman. Hey, Hickey. And the artist is Marco Cicchetto. Over on Earth 6160, Peter Parker chooses his costume with a little help from his daughter, May.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. And now that he's all suited up, he decides to stake out. Actually, there are a lot of Easter eggs in that one. Let's go back to Easter eggs or not. What was your game again?
Or egg on your face.
Or egg on your face. Yeah, because you had
or
like,
egg on your floor.
Yeah.
Ryan has on your floor.
We're going to throw that away, all right?
Put it on our bag. Don't worry.
Okay, good. So now that he's all suited up, he decides to stake out one of Wilson Fisk's properties to get more intel on the mysterious Green Goblin. So he comes across the Goblin fighting with Bullseye, one of Fisk's hired guns. And after both heroes / anti-heroes take down Kingpin's assassin, the Green Goblin forces Peter to uncover his identity. The Goblin reveals that he's exactly who we thought he was all along, Harry Osborn.
You guys knew that?
I did.
There was a theory online that it was actually Mary Jane was the Green Goblin.
Oh, Jesus.
And I kind of loved it.
If anything, I would have thought it would like his dad wasn't dead or something. But it was very obvious by, I think, the fights and the attacking he was doing that it was such a child.
Make May one of the villains.
She's not actually
like her
dead.
Daughter. Yeah. So my question to you is this, Caitlin. How is this different than regular Spider-Man? He happened to be Spider-Man a little bit later in life. And every single week someone finds out about his secret identity. But how is this?
To me,
what's the new take on it?
To me, I think this is a Spider-Man who got what he wanted all along. And it isn't enough. And I think that's a very interesting story to tell.
Yeah. He's a spider dad.
And
beard. All that beard is so cool.
How
so
does he
high.
Put
what?
The mask? Wouldn't it like bush from the beard a little?
No. I think it's like some techno.
Oh, it's yeah, that's the whole reason why I came down. I think that's why they gave him the Pico.
You're right,
Pico suit.
Because it started peeling off.
It was like a nanotech.
Yeah, so speaking of the suit, I was slightly disappointed. I knew it was coming, that it is so similar to the 616 suit. Like, I kind of wanted something a little different.
Love
yeah,
that.
Something original,
like,
too.
I love
that'd
it as an explanation, though, that the color choices were made by a child. That red and blue are not going together for me, honey. And I know it's an iconic costume, but sure. A child chose
it. You hated it or hated it.
I mean, again, that's fine. I just I would have liked to have seen something slightly. I mean, the spider itself is a little different, I think. The spider symbol, but it's just too similar.
I agree. There's more they could have done with it.
It could have had Tony Stark eyes.
the little slits.
The mask slits, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying this. I do, it's one of those things of like, I just want to see where it goes because I agree that I don't have a thread. I know Kingpin will show up, but I'm like, where are we taking us?
You have a thread.
I love
you have a thread,
Ryan,
but you got a
like,
web,
where are you
though.
Taking us? That's not 616.
I remember reading Bendis's run back in the day with Ultimate, and at first it did start out as a story that felt very similar. Yeah. So I'm thinking it's going to take a turn at some point.
Oh, the story itself, I think.
Getting choked up about it, just talking about it. I miss him.
The story itself is, I think, very, very different. I love the conversation with Peter, Ben, and J. Jonah Jameson of talking about Shades of Grey when they're talking about Green Goblin, and it's an entire manifesto of the Ultimate Universe, of this Ultimate Universe, I should say, because there's going to be people who are doing good things for bad reasons, doing bad things for good reasons, and it's not just like heroes versus villains. There is a little bit of that shade of gray.
I do love the proliferation of Stark tech that, because the maker has made Howard and Tony, or Howard his like puppet, and like kind of silenced everyone else that's like powerful, there's just the world is littered with all of Tony's or Howard's instruments.
That's fair, yeah.
Anything else on Ultimate Spider-Man number 3? All right, moving on. It's Mutant Madness. Last year, it was She's Got the Look. This year, it's X-Menswear. Yep, Mutant Madness is here, and we're really getting cooking. We're in week 4, I think. Wow, and you can vote for your favorite looks for Cyclops, Bishop, Wolverine, and Angel via Twitter at Homo Superior X and Instagram, Homo Superior Podcast. And we're down, y'all, to the sickening 16. We started with 64.
Gagged.
Went down to 32.
What?
Now it's the sickening 16. Shit. So each of our 4 characters only have 4 looks left, so I'm going to ask each of you.
She's got 4 looks.
X-Menswear.
Nailed it. All right, so Adam, starting with you, which 2 of the Cyclops looks that are remaining do you think are going to make it to the Ornate 8? So the 4 that are left, you've got Krakoa Cyclops versus
Something
Revolutionary
blue.
Cyclops, and you've got X-Men Blue Cyclops versus X-Factor Cyclops.
It's Blue and Revolution for me. I think those outfits, one is iconic and one should be iconic. I wish more people knew about it. I think that one should win because just the X on his fucking face is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the other two just feel like ripoffs, or I guess like inspiration for and then ripoffs of.
So I love that the Cyclops has X on his face, but Brent had egg on his face.
egg on his floor.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's any relationship? Or
you are the Cyclops of... Well, no, not really.
damn.
That hurt.
All right. So moving on to Bishop, Brent. So of these 4 that are remaining, you got Hellfire Gala, Bishop versus...
I can summarize them.
Yeah.
It's Bishop with a bandana.
Don't.
That's the end of the story.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Sorry, what are the ones?
Okay, so it's the Hellfire Gala Bishop versus Red Bishop, and then you've got the original Bishop versus Marauder Bishop. Which of these 2 do you think are going to move on to the Ornate 8?
I think people love the original Bishop look, and I think that people like the Marauder's Bishop look because it looks like the original but red.
So you mean Red Bishop?
Yes.
Yeah, so you think Red Bishop's going to go move forward to Ornate and the original Bishop?
Yeah, original and red, sure.
Gotcha. All right, same question for you for Wolverine. So you got...
Who's you?
That's you,
me?
Ryan. I'm looking at
oh,
you.
Egg boy.
Egg on
egg
my
boy,
face.
Yeah. egg lady, like he's nanny. So you got brown and tan Wolverine versus the all-new, all-different Wolverine, and you got Patch versus X-Force. Which 2 do you think make it to the Ornate 8?
I think we had a great time when he dressed up in suits and he did all black and he went to Mal. And we all giggled and enjoyed it. But let's get back to the basics of what he is. The brown and yellow suit and the blue and yellow suit are where it's at. That's where people like. So we're going to end there.
Baby. No, well, those two are going up against each other. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So, all right. Well, you know what? And
somehow.
Let me finish, though. And let me very much finish. Yeah.
Go ahead, baby.
Girl, I think you're
whose
finished.
Egg is on whose face?
Fatality.
I don't know. Probably Patch and then orange and yellow then.
Or okay, brown and tan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Orange and yellow. Red leather, yellow
color
leather.
Blind, yes.
And then
okay, then let me ask you a question.
Yeah, ask away, bitch.
So we
which
also
one of these is Wolverine?
So we have a 4th contender up in here.
Yes.
Of the 4 that we have left, who do you think will be
of
the final
Angel?
Yes,
okay,
Angel.
So I think everyone loves the Archangel look, so I do think that the Dark Angel is going to move forward.
Versus
Archangel.
Gotcha.
So I think it's going to be which Archangel do you like, the original or the one where he became Apocalypse, essentially? Mm-hmm. So, and then, like, yeah, in about a week or so, we'll be in the Ornate Eight. But gosh, I'm excited because I'm really not sure who's going to win. I just don't. I've been surprised many a time.
Only you can make that decision.
So keep voting. Vote early, vote often on Homo Superior X on Twitter and Homo Superior Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
As always, we like to wrap up with a little something we call Plug Me Daddy, where each of us get a chance to quickly highlight something we've read, seen, heard, and wanted to share with you, our little baby Easter egg homos. Guys, what you got this week?
I can jump in. Physical 100 has returned for its second season.
I love that workout plan.
It's literally what it's built around. So it's a Korean competition show where 100 of the most like physical people, weightlifters, sports people, models, actors, whatever, all compete in both individual and team-based games. It's so much fun. The intensity is there. The excitement is there. It's kind of like another version of like a Squid Game too, because it's a battle royale. There's so many people. You're like, the storylines that they create at the beginning get washed away because they lose, and like, it's just so fucking fun. So it's on Netflix. Watch both seasons. They're fantastic.
It's fun when they introduce someone and then immediately get eliminated. Like, I'm doing this for my mom. She's like about to die and she'll need this money. Oh, you're eliminated. You're like, great. I can go. I've been listening to this new podcast called Ghosted by Roz Hernandez. It's a queer podcast where they invite over a bunch of different, a lot of comedians, a lot of like queer guests, and they talk about ghost stories, like ghost experiences they have, but through a comedic lens. And then they do fun interactive things, like they'll listen to sounds that ghost hunters have found and just be like, what does this sound like? And then hilarity ensues. But it'll be like, and then they're like, what do you think that was? And you're like, but it's really fun. A lot of like great comedians, Nicole Byer, Drew Drogi, a lot of greats have been on there. So it's a really fun listen.
My plug for this week is a short article that was written in the MIT Technology Review. It is about...
I'm listening.
It is about particular COVID scientists tracing down a variant of COVID to 6 toilets in a Midwestern city. It's a very interesting article because basically the premise is...
What are their names? I think I dated them. This guy,
they found it on Sniffies.
So this guy kind of tries to monitor. I mean, there's monitoring of wastewater for COVID, for trying to check variants and check like, you know, surges in COVID. So like you'll see a wastewater increase and then a spike in the number of people who test positive like a few days later. So it's like super important and useful, but they started to notice this weird variant that would show up in one area, and then they're like trying to check for it and it would go away. And then a few months later, it would pop back up. So they went through this whole process of trying to investigate, where is this coming from? And the whole thing is very interesting. I'm not going to spoil all of it. But it's like gets into the questions of like ethics around public health, like, how much of an obligation do we have to track down this individual person if maybe this variant isn't dangerous now, but it could be dangerous later? What if this person's like immunocompromised in some way because of HIV? Like what, how, like they can pretty narrowly track down that it's like from one building of 30 employees. But they don't know how far to push it. So I think it's an interesting article that gets into some of the complexity of like public health and science.
Well, this is a great segue because I'm going to plug a video game. I have been playing Blasphemous, which is a Metroidvania that I'm almost done with. And I downloaded the second one because I'm ready to play that. It is done by the Spanish company and it is plays very much into like that kind of Roman Catholic like iconography. It is creepy as fuck looking. Some of the like the bosses spice grabbers are crazy, and then there's like these like sort of like beings that you talk to and they're all like, this is nightmare fuel, mama, like this is really scary, but I really love it. It's I'm pretty much at the end, but I'm trying to do 100%, so like finding all the little like items and like Easter collectibles, eggs. Easter eggs, as
Easter
they say.
Eggs, yeah.
So wait, I don't want it to end yet.
What are you playing it on?
The Switch.
Switch.
Yeah, but I think it's on every console, yeah. And it's on PC.
There's even a second one out, so baby, buckle up.
I already downloaded it. Yeah, I'm ready to play it as soon as it's done. Yeah.
Great. That's been our episode. Be sure to check out our creator crush of Jordan D. White coming out on April 1st. You can find us on Twitter at HomosuperiorX and Instagram at Homosuperior Podcast. There's still opportunities to vote for your favorite men's fashion wear in our Mutant Madness.
1616.
You can find us on Reddit. We're Homosuperior Podcast. You know, just like go out there this Easter, have fun. Whether you celebrate Easter or not, you can always throw eggs at your friends.
Make sure to wake up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Rise, just like Jesus.
Yeah.
She has risen.
Yeah, just never mind.
Get up, move that rock out of your cave, and just rise up, you know?
And then show all your friends your bloody holes.
Oh my God. So we're having brunch on Sunday, right?
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. That's part of the Bible.
Bloody holes.
Don't be a doubting Adam. Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.